Welcome to the Lifehouse Message Podcast. Please make sure to follow or subscribe to this so that you can get all the latest messages. We hope that you are inspired, empowered, and encouraged by the message today. Let's enjoy.
Hey everybody, welcome to The Message. We are in a great series talking about the power of the Holy Spirit. And so today, we're going to talk about who is guiding you. You might be able to guess the answer. It's going to be the Holy Spirit. But we're going to talk about who is guiding you in your life. I read a recent study, which is from Harvard Research. And the study talks about how many decisions do we make every day? Ever thought about this? What is your guess? How many decisions do we make every day? It's like, I don't know, 5, 10, 200? This study said that we make 32,000 to 35,000 decisions every single day. What? That is actually mind-boggling that we make that many decisions a day. And you might not be thinking, well, I don't make that many decisions a day. Well, it says that about 95% of those decisions are done subconsciously, based off what we have put in our brain, put in our mind over the course of our life that tells us what is good and what is bad, what is right and what is wrong. All of this background information, these are the things that's making 95% of our 35,000 decisions every day. So if that's 95%, then that means 5% are conscious, cognitive decisions that we're making, which is also still a whopping 1,500 decisions a day. And those are decisions like the ones that we would think of, like when you wake up, what do I wear? What am I going to eat? What am I going to do? What am I going to say? How am I going to say? How am I going to do these things? If something happens, then you make a decision. There's reactive decisions. So there's about 1,500 of those cognitive, conscious decisions that we make every day. So the question is, what is feeding us? What are we making these decisions based off of? Because society these days is overloaded with information. There is so much information that is bombarding us every single day, be it the news, be it any sort of media, and especially social media. There is so many things out there that's trying to infiltrate our mind with, this is right, this is the way, you should do this, you shouldn't do that, you should be like this, you shouldn't be like that. There's so much information out there bombarding us. And so the question is, who is guiding you? Because at the end of the day, it's not what as much as it is who. Because information comes from people, the people that share it, the people that we allow to speak into our lives, whether it's people that are close to us, whether it's just that person that you see on Instagram and you think, oh man, I wish I was living their life. Who is guiding you? Which voices are you allowing into your subconscious? Because 95% of our decisions every day comes from our subconscious. So what are we building in our mind? As believers, I believe that we have an unfair advantage over the world. Yes, we are talking about the Holy Spirit. Let me read John 14, verse 16 to 17. This is Jesus speaking, and he says, "And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate who will never leave you. He is the Holy Spirit, who leads into all truth. The world cannot receive him because it isn't looking for him and doesn't recognize him, but you know him because he lives with you now and later will be in you." I love this scripture. Jesus is talking about when Jesus is going to die, be crucified, and rise again. After that, he is going to ascend to heaven. And when he does, he's going to give us a gift. He's going to give us, as it says, another advocate, another helper, another person to help us and speak on our behalf and to help speak inside of our hearts. This is the Holy Spirit. And when we believe in Jesus, when we accept Jesus into our lives, we receive the Holy Spirit. We receive the power that comes with the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit, it says, never leaves. He's always with you every day, every moment, every decision. The Holy Spirit is with us and within us and helping us to make decisions. I would call that an unfair advantage, wouldn't you? That we have the Spirit of God living within us, helping us in our daily lives to make better decisions. And so today, I want to talk about an example in the Bible where we see some guys being specifically guided by the Holy Spirit in their journey. So we're going to have a look at this story in Acts chapter 16 of these two men named Paul and Silas. Now, these are two amazing men of God. They've been on journeys, they've been to cities, they've started churches, and they did this, and now it's time for round two. They're going to go do it again. They're going to go to different places, different cities, different peoples, and they're going to tell them about Jesus. They're going to go and preach the gospel. And so they had a plan, right? They would have sat down before they set out. They had a plan and they're like, okay, we're going to go here, here, here. And this is what it's going to do. It's going to be great. And so they set off on this amazing journey of theirs. And so let's read what happens. And we're going to put a map up here as well so that we can understand, that we can visually see this journey. Because if we're just reading it, it might be a little bit dry. So we're going to put this map, we're going to put an image up here so we can look at it together. So it says, verse 6. Acts 16. Next, Paul and Silas traveled through the area of Phrygia and Galatia because the Holy Spirit had prevented them from preaching the word in the province of Asia at the time. Now today, for us modern people, we think of Asia as this part of the world, you know, Japan and China and Vietnam and Thailand. Like, we think of this area of the world as Asia. But back then, that was not Asia. They had another area called Asia, as you can hopefully see on the map. And that area is basically modern day Turkey. So when they're talking about Asia, they had a plan to go through this area. And it says that the Holy Spirit prevented them from going into this area. What is that all about? Let's keep reading. Then they went up north and so it says they coming to the borders of Mysia, they headed north to the province of Bithynia. I don't know if I'm saying these right. But again, the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of Jesus, did not allow them to go there. So instead, they went on through Mysia to the seaport of Troas. So these guys, they were going up and they wanted to go into Asia, but they couldn't. So they went up north and then they were stopped again. So they went over this area and they ended up in this seaport town called Troas. So at a few different moments, the Holy Spirit was like, hey, this is not where I want you to go right now. Very interesting. That night, Paul had a vision. A man from Macedonia, which is across this body of water in a different land in Greece. A man from Macedonia in northern Greece was standing there pleading with him, come over to Macedonia and help us. So we decided to leave for Macedonia at once, having concluded that God was calling us to preach the good news there. So this is a really important story because they followed the guidance of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is our guide. The Holy Spirit wants to guide you in your life, in your decisions. Now, it may not be as supernatural as this, where there was a vision and it was ultra clear that this man in Macedonia, and they were like, we need to go to Macedonia. It might not be super crazy like that in our lives. It might be more subtle. It might be more simple. But in this case, it's a very clear instance of the Holy Spirit's guidance of where to go and also where not to go. Not because it's bad, but the Holy Spirit guides us to the best plan possible. And so we need to understand that Paul and Silas, they had a different plan. Their plan was to go into this province of Asia, Turkey, and at the coastline of that, there's a city named Ephesus. You may know that from the book of Ephesians. Now, eventually, these guys will get there. They have to go the long way around. But perhaps that was their original plan. We're going to go through these port towns. We're going to go here. And the Holy Spirit was like, I got another plan for you. And so they're, all right, we'll go this way. And the Holy Spirit's, no, we're going to go over here. And they went over there. And that's where they had the clear guidance of the Holy Spirit. Imagine if they didn't listen to the Holy Spirit. Imagine if they didn't do what the Holy Spirit said. You know what happens when they get to Macedonia, when they get to this northern part of Greece? They come to a town called Philippi. Now, this might be sounding familiar for some of you, but Philippi is where there's a few incredible stories that happen. One of them, they arrive and they meet this woman named Lydia, and she's an amazing woman. She's a businesswoman, very wealthy, very smart, very well-to-do, and they meet her. She's a purple cloth salesperson. Now, purple cloth is the most important, wealthy cloth. It's the most expensive cloth that you could buy at that time. And they meet this woman, and they talk with her, and she becomes a believer. She gives her life to Jesus, and she gets baptized, her and her whole household. And she's like, let's start a church in my house. And so the church of Philippi is started in this lady Lydia's home. Later, Paul and Silas, they're walking around town, and we know this story of this slave girl that comes and starts kind of bothering them. Paul commands this evil spirit to come out of this girl. She's set free, but because of that, her masters are mad and they end up being thrown into prison. You know this story. They're in prison and they're worshiping God, and at midnight there is an earthquake and all the prison doors fly open, and the jailer there, he's about to kill himself, and they say, no, don't kill yourself. We're all here. And that night, the jailer takes them home, washes their wounds, and he becomes a believer. Him and his whole household. Boom. Now, and we're talking about household, we're talking about a lot of people, 50 to 80 people. So boom, two big households believe in Jesus, are baptized. The church is booming. It just doubled overnight. Now we have 100 to 150 people at this brand new church in Philippi. This is what happens when we follow the guidance of the Holy Spirit, is that other lives, other people's lives are impacted for the gospel. And I'm so glad that they went there, because not only did they see these amazing miracles happen, and we are blessed, we are enriched by these incredible stories that we have in the Bible, but Paul also later writes a letter to the church in Philippi. That letter is called Philippians. Yes, we today are impacted by the decisions that these men took to follow the Holy Spirit's guidance. If they didn't follow the Holy Spirit, we today might not have the book of Philippians, which would be such a shame, because Philippians is an absolute banger of a book. It's got so many amazing scriptures, so many encouraging scriptures. I think it is one of the most encouraging books in the Bible. Imagine if we didn't have that book in the Bible. Imagine if Paul and Silas were like, you know what, Holy Spirit? We know better. We're the guys. We already did one missionary trip, and see how successful we were? We know what's best. No, they weren't too big for their boots. They listened to the Holy Spirit. And because they did, miracle after miracle after breakthrough happened. And today, you and I are still impacted by the faithfulness, by the obedience of these two men. I'm so glad that they followed the Holy Spirit. And in my own life, there's been many moments where I know that the Holy Spirit has guided me. A lot of big decisions in my life. For example, after high school, when I was 18 years old, I decided to go up to Sapporo. Shout out Sapporo. And I went up to Sapporo because we were starting a new church there, and I was graduating high school, and I wasn't the biggest fan of going to university, wasn't the biggest fan of, you know, sitting in classrooms and studying and all that. So I was like, all right, let's see what happens. But it's interesting that in this example, it wasn't like I had a clear vision from God or like a clear word. I felt like it was more natural the way that I came to this decision. And I'm a very logical thinker. So I like to pull up pros and cons charts. Anyone like me? You like the good old pros and cons. List them out. These are the good things if I move to Sapporo. These are the negative things I look to if I move to Sapporo. And the overwhelming truth of it was, there were so many more pros than cons. I get to help a church. I get to be on my own, learn to be independent, learn to work, learn to be leader. So many great things. And bless this amazing city. And the cons was literally like, I have to move out of my home where I have my mom's amazing cooking. Or I have to maybe say goodbye to some of my high school friends. I mean, like, that was pretty much it, to be honest. There was a lot of pros and there wasn't that many cons. And so I was like, okay. And I felt a strange sense of peace about it. Now, there was obviously, it's a big decision, it's a big step, and there was a bit of fear that comes with that. But with that fear was also this strange sense of peace. Like, yeah, I can do this. I'm going to do this. It's going to be great. It's going to be fun. See, there was this peace that came with that. And then, you know, a year and a half later, same thing. Pastor Rod, aka my dad, said, why don't you come back down to Tokyo and maybe intern for the church? So I was like, all right, pros and cons, let's go. Again, it wasn't this really clear, like, you are called to Tokyo. It's like, God, wherever I go, I want you to use me. And again, the overwhelming fact of it was there were so many more pros for the cons. And I felt the same sense of peace. I believe God was speaking to me. And so when I went to Sapporo, maybe the reason why it wasn't this big, massive, like, you are called to Sapporo, is because God knew I would only be there for a year and a half. You see, God's plan is bigger than my plan. But I went up there with the intention that, hey, I'm going to be here long term. Whatever God says, whenever he says it, that's what I'm going to do. And then I came back down to Tokyo and I've been living a blessed life. I love Tokyo. I love life here. But I think that God always helps us when we make big decisions. Another big decision in my life was when I decided to ask my now wife, then wasn't my wife, when I asked Melissa out for a coffee. You see, in my head, I was going through all of these things, these back and forths. I was like, ooh, I want to become friends first, but it's so hard to talk to her. And when I try to talk to her, she, you know, it's very brief and we work together. So there's that, like, what if it doesn't work out and, you know, it's awkward in the office and it's a small office. So, you know, don't want that to happen. So my mind was trying to reason. My logical brain couldn't come up with a decision. But when I journaled, I remember I got this super clear word from God. And God basically said, hey, Monty, I'm giving you the invitation to this treasure. And when I got that word, something clear happened. There was clarity. The clouds were gone. It lifted. And I was like, ah, all right. Although I may still be a little bit scared of what the outcome could be, because I have the word from God, because I have clarity and peace, because I know that the Holy Spirit is guiding me, I can step out in faith. Even when I'm scared, I can step out in faith. And I'm so glad I did, because it's probably the best decision I ever made on this side of eternity. We love life. We just had our 4th year anniversary. Come on. Going strong, loving life, loving married life. But it's because, I believe it's because that the Holy Spirit guided me and the Holy Spirit guided her. And I also want to share, recently in Tokyo, we went to 2 services last September. And leading up to this decision, there were so many factors that we had to factor. And there were so many things that we had to take into consideration of how we're going to make this work. And there was 2 options. One was to do 2 morning services, and one was to do keep the 11 o'clock and then do an afternoon service. It ended up, the way that we figured it out, that the price was going to be the same either way. Now, I, at that time, was advocating for the afternoon service. I was the one saying we should do that, and our mandate is to reach young people, and rah, rah, rah. And again, maybe my logical brain was kicking in more than the Holy Spirit, because I kept this back and forth, and Pastor Rod likes to call some of the discussions we have robust discussions. Basically disagreements. So he was advocating for the 2 morning services and I was advocating for the morning and afternoon service. And we were at odds. We weren't like at each other's throats, but we were like, no, I think this is better. And I was like, nah, I think this is better. Both a bit stubborn in that. And eventually I ended up getting my way. Who would have thought? I got what I wanted in the end. It was like, my you know, Pastor was like, all right, we'll do it, but I think you're choosing the harder option here. And I was like, yeah, it'll be fine. And I walked out of the office and I was like, I got what I wanted, but why do I feel like I didn't win? What is this feeling? why do I feel like that it was this strange feeling I had, and I was with this feeling. I was like, I feel like I should be having this moment of like, yay, joy, let's move forward. But I didn't. I was like, did I make the wrong decision? What? I went home and I journaled. And my journal was literally, slaves, obey your masters. And I was like, God, what? I know that's not the dynamic here, but like, it's a bit on the nose, don't you think? And so in that moment, I knew I was wrong. I made the wrong decision. And I knew the wisdom of Pastor Rod, of my father, was right. And so the next day I went to the office and kind of with my tail between my legs, and I came in and I was like, we'll do two morning services. And Pastor Rod was like, okay. He didn't say, I told you. He didn't say anything. He just looked at me. He was like, okay. I was fine with whatever you chose, but I do think that's the easier option. I was like, yeah, I think so too. It was the guidance of the Holy Spirit that led me to that decision. And now, here we are, months later, and both services are thriving. We have seen so many new people come to church. Families are happy, new people are happy, youth are happy, young adults, like everyone is enjoying life. I'm really, really glad that I listened to what the Holy Spirit wanted and not what Monty wanted. I'm really glad, because our decisions impact people around us. And so guys, I got a few quick tips for us today of how we can be more in tune, how we can let the Holy Spirit guide us more. Are you ready? First and foremost, receive the Holy Spirit. First of all, you need the Holy Spirit if you're going to be guided by the Holy Spirit. If you're watching this and you're not yet a believer, this is the very first step that we need to take. Before anything, when we receive the Holy Spirit, then our life is changed. We need to acknowledge that we need a Savior. We need Jesus. Jesus is everything. And when we accept Jesus into our life, then we receive the Holy Spirit. And then when we receive the Holy Spirit, something interesting happens. We begin to understand the truth. We begin to know what is right and what is wrong. John 16:13 says this, when the Spirit of truth, Holy Spirit, Spirit of truth, same thing, when He comes, He will guide you in all truth. He will not speak on His own, but will tell you what He has heard, and He will tell you about the future. This is great. The Holy Spirit will tell us what is true. The truth. The objective truth. Not my truth. Not His truth or her truth. The truth. The Holy Spirit guides us. He opens our eyes to see this is right, this is wrong. And I think it's really interesting that when people really do receive the Holy Spirit, life habits change. People that used to go get drunk, all of a sudden, I don't have a taste for alcohol anymore. People that used to smoke, all of a sudden, yeah, I don't want to smoke anymore. People that, you know, would go to the clubs and get drunk or maybe sleep around, all of a sudden, their appetite changes. Why does their appetite change? Is it because the Bible says, thou shalt not go to the club? No, the Bible doesn't say that. The Holy Spirit does. When we get the Holy Spirit in our life, the Holy Spirit begins to reveal to us, hey, that's not healthy. Hey, this is going to hurt you. Hey, you don't need to be doing this. Hey, that's in the past. Let's move forward. Let's move into the future. That's what the Spirit of truth, the Holy Spirit, does when He comes into our life. And so, the second point is, after we've received the Holy Spirit and He begins to speak to us, there's some practical things I think we can do. The second point is, write it down. You know that Harvard study that I was talking about just at the beginning of this? You know what their solution was with all of these decisions and this decision-making overload? Do you know what their decision was? Their scientific decision. Write it down. Write down what you're thinking. Write down what you're feeling. The actual word they used in the article was, you guessed it, journaling. Ha ha, you knew we were going to talk about it today. Journaling. Science is saying that this is good for your brain now. And it's saying that journaling or writing it down, it actually pulls in both sides of your brain, left brain and right brain, so that you're not too emotional and you're not too imaginative, that you are centered. You can be focused. Write it down. You know what? The Bible says this too. Who would have thought? Habakkuk 2 verse 2, it says, "Then the Lord replied, write down the revelation and make it plain on tablets so that a herald may run with it." This was written thousands of years ago. Thousands of years ago, before science caught up to the Word of God. Write it down. Make it plain. Make it easy. You see, when they're talking about the scientific journaling, writing it down, they're just talking about writing down what your emotions say, what you're saying to yourself. And there's some proof that writing that down does actually help your thinking, your mentality. How much more so would writing down revelations from God help your mentality? How much more so would journaling and having a personal, intimate relationship with God would help your daily life? How much more so would we know what the Holy Spirit wants us to do when we write it down? Journaling has changed my life. I've been journaling for like 15 years now. And this is what has honestly made the difference in my personal walk with God. Grew up in a Christian home. I heard all of the amazing stories. I love God. I love the Bible. I love the stories. I believed in Jesus. But it wasn't as personal until I started writing it down. And that's when the Bible came alive. That's when this relationship with God came alive. That's when I started hearing the voice of God, and the guidance of the Holy Spirit began to become more clear. It starts by writing it down. Third thing I want to say is that when we're guided by the Holy Spirit, we will have peace. Now, peace is not the absence of fear. Because a lot of these stories that I talked about, there was a fear. There was a worry that I had at the same time. But at the same time, there was this peace that I could not describe. And you know what? The Bible actually does describe it. Philippians 4, 7. "Then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus." You know what's amazing is that this is Philippians. Yes, that Philippians. That Philippians, that verse, that book that Paul wrote to that church that he went to. We have this scripture because of Paul's obedience to the Holy Spirit. And that's the final thing I want to leave you with. It's not my will, but your will be done. You see, we can choose. The Holy Spirit's not going to force us to do anything. He's going to say, "Hey, I think you should do this." And we could say, no. Or we could say, "Yes, I want to do that. I want to follow the Holy Spirit." Like with Paul and Silas, they could have said, "No, we know better. We want to go there. It's part of our plan. God, why are you messing up my plan?" Or they could have said, "Okay, it wasn't in my plan, but God, I'm going to trust you. Not my will, but your will be done." Thank God that Paul and Silas followed God's will, followed the Holy Spirit's guidance. And just like the decision making the two services, I'm so thankful that God spoke to me and that I was able to listen. And I really believe that we made a great decision that blesses many people's lives. Let the Holy Spirit guide your plans. I don't want to be the captain of my ship. I want God to be the captain of my ship. I don't want to be the tour guide of my ship. I want God to be the one to guide me to the place that He wants me to go. And every time I go, I have peace. I have the Holy Spirit's guidance. I have assurance. And there may be fear sometimes when there's a big decision, but I'm not going to let that decide for me. I'm going to let God's Word decide for me. And I believe the Holy Spirit wants to guide each and every one of you today. So if that's all right, can we pray together right now? Why don't we pray? God, I thank you for all of these amazing people listening to this message today. And I thank you that you love them and that you want to guide them. You want to speak to them, God. So I pray that our hearts would be open, that we would lay down our desires, we would lay down our wants and our plans, and we would listen to your desires and your plans, God. I pray, God, that we would trust you, we put our faith in you, that we would obey you. And as we do, God, I pray that you would give us peace, the peace that transcends all understanding, that even when we're afraid, even when we're unsure, God, we know that you are there, that you are guiding us. I pray you give us that confidence. In Jesus' name, amen. And lastly, I want to pray for one more group of people. So if we could keep our eyes closed for another moment. I want to pray for anyone that hasn't yet made a decision to receive Jesus, to believe in Jesus. Or maybe you used to believe in Him, but you've fallen away and you want to come back to Him. Hey, for you, I want to pray. I'm going to count to three. I'm going to say now, and when I say now, I'm going to ask you to make a decision in your heart or raise your hand wherever you are. If you want to receive Jesus, all you need to know is He loves you. He died on a cross for you. He rose again 3 days later. He's alive and He wants to give you His Holy Spirit. He wants to guide you in all truth. So if you want that, 3, 2, 1, now. Why don't you make that decision and receive Jesus? Receive the Holy Spirit today. Amen. Amen. Hey, can I pray for you really quick? God, I thank you for these amazing people making this decision. I pray you come into their life right now, that their heart of stone would become a heart of flesh, and that your Holy Spirit would now reside within them. The past is gone, that they are a new creation today. Thank you for your forgiveness. Thank you for your will. And I pray that they would be so excited for the future. I pray you bless them in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, I hope you enjoyed today's message. Make sure you tune in next week for another great message about the Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. We'll see you there. Bye.
Thanks for listening today. We hope that God was able to speak to you through the message. If you consider Lifehouse your church home, or if you were blessed by these messages, then why not consider generously supporting us? Simply go to mylifehouse.com/give and find the giving way that works best for you. Have a blessed day, and we'll catch you all next time.